Ready?
Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Josephine County Board of Commissioners Tuesday General Discussion. It's 10 a.m., January 7th, and we have a few items to discuss. The first one is Measure 1790, an advisory question on the county lodging tax. As you remember, we had an advisory question, and it came back close to 50-50, 51-49. So not a mandate, but a something to consider. What should we do going forward in our county for lodging taxes? Any suggestions, commissioners?
Is there any change from this 1790 to the other one? Or is it, are we asking the same question twice?
We're just reviewing it, I think. I don't think we're going to ask one.
Well, I'd like to see what the old one said.
I think this is the old one.
I think this is the old one.
This is the old one.
With the results at the bottom.
Okay.
So it was an advisory question, and a lot of the feedback I got were people were saying, well, how much? And what are you going to do with it? And so...
Well, pretty good questions to ask. I
mean. True. And the hard part isn't an advisory question. I'm dealing with this with the fire county, the fire committee, where they said, well, you asked that advisory question. There's your marching orders. And it's like, but the resolution that started this group is not the same wording as that advisory question. And so that was advisory to the commissioners. This was advisory to the commissioners. How we take that advice and where we go with it is another issue. But the feedback I got from people is without knowing an amount and what it would go towards, they questioned what to do there.
Right. They didn't have a way to make a good decision without the information.
Mm-hmm.
Sir?
If we put information like that in the advisory question, that locks us in, though, doesn't it? Then you basically are, that is your mandate.
I think that if we did an advisory question is non-binding. But if you did it again, you wouldn't do it as an advisory question. You'd either
propose it,
propose the ballot, or...
Yeah. And there's, for me, there's a couple different ways you could go. You could go, because there's none outside of the city of Cave Junction and the city of Grants Pass, no lodging tax. You could treat everything outside of those two cities as one conversation of having a lodging tax, whether it be 9-10%, whatever the normal rate is for other counties and cities. But then there's an opportunity to put a 1%, say, on top of the city of Grants Passes and the city of Cave Junctions to make the revenue more significant, because that's where a lot of the lodging facilities are. In the county, I think we'd have to purposefully go after vacation rentals by owner type of businesses, because there aren't that many lodging facilities that are in the county. And so is this something that you think the commissioners would come to a resolution on and propose something on the ballot, or do we need some sort of group to look at this, whether it be the Collaborative Economic Development Committee or a special task force? Or
I think those are good questions. The Collaborative Economic Development Committee doesn't meet that often.
Once a month.
Once a month. Yep. They could call a meeting more frequently, but they primarily focus on the city, though, because Jean Ann Miles and you are on there, it brings some county perspective, which it's supposed to be collaborative. I know the Tourism Committee of the city has asked for county representation.
And I've been going to those meetings, so I'll go to one today.
Okay. They tend to have representation from lodging association there. The chamber also has connection with a lodging group. I think it would be worth, some things would have to be determined. I know we've talked in the past that it would be something to support airports and fairground as kind of matching dollars to the grants that they apply for. And that it could be used for, you know, a portion could be used potentially for law enforcement. If we say that's economic development is keeping a community safe. So defining specifically proportions of where it would go. And then But it would be good to, I don't think you have enough time to take a long time for a committee, the time that it would take to form a committee, the time it would take for them to meet and actually come up with it. I am curious what other counties have done, and is it overlaying the cities? Because as far as I'm aware, when you go up to Portland and Salem, and not that I want to be by like Portland or Salem at all, but
Jean?
No, I'm okay with that as well. I'd like to be like us. They do have the three levels on the one bill, no matter where you stay. So it's not just outside the city limits. It would cover the city limits. And we had talked before about doing a total countywide, where in the city limits it would be 2 or 3%, where in the county it'd be 12%. And then total, no matter where you stay, it's the same in the county.
Right.
So.
And I would agree with you on that. There is a southern, I'm not sure what's agency, if it's Travel Southern Oregon or some other, that is looking at doing a
regional
overlay regionally of, say, 1% or some number like that.
Julie was really concerned if that happened before we had ours in place, that we would lose our opportunity to take care of our local needs. And who's to say that that regional thing would ever support our county as much as it would other counties? So it never really got off the ground. Brad Niva? Aniva came and presented to us on that regional proposal probably a year and a half ago, maybe more. And but this was something that Julie was really trying to kick off and trying to. I know that we've been trying to find ways for the city to support airports as well as the county. It enhances city businesses, and so you know the Community Economic Development Committee had pointed to airports as one of those things they would support. So it might be that that would be the group that if they'd be willing to look at it and see and what recommendations would come out of it.
You had something, sir?
Do we have any idea what other counties, like for instance, if you're coming up from, and I never look at it, when I check into a motel, I don't say, well, I'm not going to stay in Orange County, I'm going to stay in Irvine because I, you know, because of taxes or less on my room. I never do that. Neither did anybody else. But how we compare, like to Douglas County and Jackson County, is their total lodging tax 12%. If we go to 12%, we're 9 in the city and 3 go into the county or something of that sort. How do we stack up? Also, if we add 2% onto the city's piggyback on theirs, make theirs 11 across the board, do they write us a check for that 2%? They collect it, City of Grants Pass collects it, and then write us a check like we collect and write them a check?
You know, that's a good question that I think we would be appropriate to have EVARC involved in that conversation.
I think so.
When it came to the marijuana tax, the local dispensaries that are in the county and pay the county, they pay directly to Eve, and she collects on behalf of the county.
Okay. I'm looking at it from the merchant in the dispensary, but the hoteliers, the people that run the hotels, we've got to make that about as simple to them as we can. You know, one check a month or one check a quarter or whatever they turn that in to go to one place, and then we divvy it up. Rather, well, I got to write one to the county, I got to write one to the city, and
it might be worth reaching out to the city to see what their process is.
See what their process is and what it accepts.
Yeah, I was writing down to contact Arthur as well to see, estimate how much 1% might mean so we know what kind of dollars we're talking about, who collects and how. And then I was going to ask the tourism committee who they might suggest, whether it's a good idea for the lodging tax and who should be the beneficiary according to their recommendations. So, any other discussion? Okay, I think that's got enough to move a little.
Okay.
And so we'll just continue that discussion.
What's our deadline on this? If we're going to put this on, did you want to put this on the May election or 2020 or the November?
May election is probably tight.
Really tight. But it should be fairly cut and dried. I mean, it's not earthbound one.
Right.
I think we know. I think we know. We just got a couple of wrinkles to iron out.
So look at deadlines. Who do I ask about deadlines?
Oh, we'll provide it.
I
may have sent something over like last month on a whole different question regarding the upcoming deadline, but I'll make sure you get that.
Right.
But and if I remember, the candidate deadline is mid-March.
Yeah.
So there, it must be some tie in there.
We've got our charter requirement.
Aye.
So.
No wonder we have a legal department.
Let's see what we're stacking on the ballot.
Sure.
Okay. Both for May and November.
Oh, it was the. I remember what it was that we were generating that for. It was the fire.
Oh, right.
So we're doing it anyway.
The May election and the November, so it should be easy.
Yeah.
November, of course, is a convoluted ballot with national elections, city council elections, mayor, commissioner elections. There's a lot on that ballot, and sometimes tax measures fare differently during those heavy ballots. Okay. Any further discussion, or should we move on to two?
We move on. I'm just curious, Sheriff, did you have something? I don't see it on the agenda. Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Not that you can't hang out with us, you know.
All right.
Does he look like a concerned citizen? I see concern on his face.
Item two is Commissioner Liaison Assignments for 2020. Hard to believe it's been a year already. And to talk about liaison assignments, I think we had some separate discussions with legal to try and see what, and with our office manager, to see what possible options are out there. I know the ones I had talked about was potentially having either a luck of the draw method, to where we're not choosing favorites or things that we feel we have a specialty in, or a special ongoing relationship with some department, to make sure that commissioners get a full experience at the county and not stay in one corner of the county's government necessarily. Then my wife, of all people, had what I thought was even a better idea of maybe chunking up the ones that make sense, the transportation ones, the forest and fire management ones, the economic development, whatever chunk-up method might make sense to us. And if that is one that you guys are attracted to, I would think we'd go back and try and chunk them up ourselves and propose something. And then maybe have those move every year so that first year you get this chunk, second year you get that chunk, third year you get that chunk. But that maybe that doesn't make sense. And so I wanted to find out what you guys had in mind for liaison assignments.
I reached out to my people that I deal with. First question out of their mouth is, what's broken?
Right.
What's broken? If it's not broken, don't fix it. And I got quite a few letters back from people stating, you know, thank you for being a fantastic liaison for the fairgrounds, from Tamara Martin. Hope you can do it.
Well, there's something to be said, Nate, for having traction in those. And
Nate, I get it from Nate. I got it from Sheriff. Cause the Sheriff and I have been working well for 3 years together, and we've got a lot of unfinished business, and to shift gears and say, okay, we're going to take these cars off of this train and put another engineer in front of it. I don't know how long it would take to get that going. I got it from Dave Streeter. I got it from Lisa Picard. Talked to Larry this morning, and he said, I don't know what's broken. He said, I truly enjoy you being the liaison. And he says, if it's the fact that the other two commissioners don't feel as though they're connected with those departments, I think it's as simple as, if you want to go to the airport board meeting with me, fine. You just tell staff, they say you notice it, and we go to the meeting. Not like we're holding anything back from any of the commissioners. You can attend as many meetings as your little heart desires. But, you know, I've worked up, and I've got a different style than anybody else when it comes to this, but also looked up liaison, just the definition of what it is. Pretty straightforward. It's just advisory. Liaison. Employ the French-sounding word liaison to refer to a relationship linked between people or groups who aids communication. What is a liaison's role? A liaison officer is a person that liaises between two organizations to communicate and coordinate their activities by serving as an official go-between for senior officials on both organizations. In my mind, my way about it is that we're going to an advisory, airport advisory committee, for instance, and I'm not going to go in there and tell them what I want. I want to hear what they have to say. And then at some point in time, I said, and I did it with the tree, urban area tree committee over there, which was one nobody wanted at the city of Grants Pass. And we worked on an ordinance that had been working on it for years. And I said, this is what we want to do. And I said, don't bring that to the council. And when they worked through it and they got all done, I said, now you've got a product to go to the council. And that was the only advice I gave them, was, you know, just keep at it. I don't think council's going to swallow that. When it's ready to go to the council, that's when it'll need to go. But I wouldn't want to lose any one of the departments that I deal with, because I've dealt with them for 3 years. And I enjoy two on some of them, fairgrounds and airports. I've only been there for 2 years. But I try to attend every meeting. I don't miss very many. And I think they like that. I've showed up at some meetings. We've never had a liaison here. Not necessarily from this board, but it's prior boards. But just the liaison thing really hasn't been very strong in the Board of County Commissioners for quite some time. And I think we've changed that. We've turned that around. But to say, okay, well, yeah, here we go. Let's just shift them all around, and we're going to put them in blocks of five, and we're doing transportation. I'm MPO, Road Valley, or RV Act, and I've also got Public Works. They all tie together. I've got Sheriff and Community Corrections. Those two tie together. So I don't think it's broken. That's my own personal opinion. I don't think it's broken. I think if it's got some glitches that you feel left out or that you would like to get more involved, that's entirely up to you guys. You just say the word, they put you on the list for that evening, and away we go. You go to every meeting.
And that's what we're here for. I appreciate your take on it. Lily?
I think that looking at the history of the liaisons, it was kind of created as a way to curb public meetings. There was a citizen videoing meetings, and there was an effort to try to curb some of the business that was going on in public, and it might have been created as a way of helping and reduce things, but I think that it also can be abused, and I think that there are things that could improve in the system. There has been times that information has been given to liaisons, not yourself, but it doesn't get shared with the other commissioners. And we are elected as a board to operate as a board and make decisions as a board. And if only one of the people has the information, then the rest of us are not equipped to make those decisions. And we haven't come up with a way of sharing that information that really gets it to all of us in an effective manner to make those decisions. And so it's one of those things that I think that we could do things better, and that it's not that what anyone's doing is broken, it's that it's not defined. And so I would like to have a process of actually defining how it goes. I support us kind of putting the names back in the basket and seeing where it goes, to see, because part of it is, two of us already had things established when Commissioner Fowler came on board, and he was kind of given what was left and never given a chance to say, I'm really interested in this, and I'd like a chance at it. And it scares me a little bit to put them all out there and say, okay, you pick one, now I pick one. Now you pick one, and I pick one. And what do we get? Because it's not necessarily in our comfort things. I feel very comfortable with my relationship with a couple of the departments and the knowledge I have with them. I don't feel as comfortable with the other ones. However, we all have to make decisions on all of them. And I think that there have been some... they're not all equal. If you are liaison to public health, you have a minimum of 5 advisory boards that go with that. If you are liaison to fair, you have 1 committee. If you are liaison airports, you got 2. Forestry, well, it's mining. You have mining, you have forestry. You know, it's split. It's not
resource,
even
resource. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of one of those things that we have, since I've been here, never defined. How are we going to select? Should they be grouped in things together? We've kind of talked here and there. I think it would be beneficial to give a chance to, well, first off, next year there may be two new of us in here. So it may be all up for grabs anyhow. But there's not one way to do it. We change chair every year. That means different departments may get different liaisons every year. If it helps that we have the opportunity to learn more about other departments. But I also think that there's some that naturally go together. There's also some that combine so many different ones that it could be any of us. Lipsick, for instance, has DA, sheriff, corrections, mental health, public health, you know, all this different stuff that it encompasses multiple people. And so I think that the fair thing would be for us to figure out the groupings or to throw them up and say, all right, what's your first pick? Which one do you not want to live without? And then we each kind of get to go down the list and figure that out. And that way we all equally have a chance to have something different or the same, because your first pick is most likely going to be one you don't, you know. Traditionally, we have only allowed the elected officials to weigh in on their preference. The commissioners have divvied up the rest as we see fit, and it's not set in stone. There could be any time in the year that it can change for any purpose. And I think that I took over a project for somebody that's no longer here, and I can't tell you how many times I was told the statement, well, he said he was going to share this with the full board, and it was not information that the rest of us received. And I think that is something that's broke, that we can do better. We don't do well of, do you guys want to know every public health amendment I sign on a weekly basis? Because I have several a week. But I'll give another example. Fairgrounds. We once upon a time talked about with our outgoing fair manager that we would maybe hire her on to keep a fair for a year. And then we did interviews for a new fair director. We never had a conversation after we hired that new fair director what we were going to do the next year fair. And because the contract amount was under the liaison amount, we had hired Ms. Anderson to stay on another year, and I didn't even know it. And it was one of those things that only the liaison knew. It was within your signing authority, but we had never come back around and had that discussion after we hired Tamara. And it wasn't a bad, it was just a, oh, I didn't know we hired Peggy. And so somehow having a way of when those things come up as liaisons, well, and we haven't talked about it, the authority of a liaison. When I was first hired, all the commissioners would sign off on an evaluation. Now they were self-evals sent over, but then that stopped. And I know you go over them, but I didn't. But it's not defined. And honestly, I think that it would be better for the information to come to the board, and then we delegate, hey, now work up with your liaison in those details. We bless you to work on that or something, versus get it all worked out and then come to the board and only one knows about it. I think that we can do a better job as a board working together and sharing information if we find a different way to define the liaison roles than we're currently, because of the time constraints, because of how busy we are, because of public meetings, of getting it all on there. You'll be thinking, I want to make sure to share that information. You get to the meeting, you're like, oh, I already forgot because I'm onto this and this and that. And so there's got to be another mechanism that we as a board are working as a whole and making sure that one of us isn't caught off guard by something the other has or something like that.
And so I went first, you went, let's just keep this rotation going so we all get equal time. This is, I think, really important. When I first came on board and we had the department heads in a spring meeting that we called goal setting, but it kind of turned into state of the county, where are we at, how are things working? But this was one of the ones that rose to the top, was that liaison relationships were not perfect for whatever reason. Information was getting moved from department heads to liaison, but not always to the full board. Part of our idea of fixing that was having an office manager that was the nexus of information. I don't know how that fits into the liaison role, but I know that it seems like it's still not happening as well as it could. So I don't know if that means on Tuesdays or Thursdays we need to have a liaison reports section on our agenda so that we are actually pushed to share what is going on in our in our liaison relationships. If there's some other method I'm missing. I know that yesterday, the CEDC meeting I was at, they came to a conclusion that they wanted to pass a motion to, say, support the airports for 5 years with a monetary amount in mind that I was going to share during matters from commissioners today. Where does that motion go? You know, at the city, we had the same problem of where does that motion go? And we ended up with a liaison report at public meetings so that that information got shared by pushing it, by having it on the agenda. Is the onus on me now as liaison to the board and CEDC to bring you that motion and talk about it? Or is there some other way that it gets here? And so we got more to talk about than just who's liaison. We have contract signing authority, and I think we have that information flow problem that I'd like to address in some form or fashion. So let's keep going around. Commissioner Dion?
Well, I think, you know, and if we go back to goal setting, such that it was, when the liaison thing popped up and everybody said, well, I don't know about liaison stuff, I have like seven departments, like five of them said, I hear from my liaison every Monday morning. Don't you? And I do. I try to call every Monday morning. I'm in contact with my departments every Monday. How do we can go? What's your challenges coming up? So on and so forth. The sheriff says, you know, we missing persons and we talk about other things. But I think, you know, right here, item 3 and 4, review of Fire Protection Committee minutes and review of Rural Planning Commission meeting minutes. We, just this year, when Trish came on board, Sandy Casanelli's right. We didn't have any minutes come through for our approval. And I've got a mistake on the minutes that I signed. Why? Because I didn't read it. That's my fault. And I'm going to correct it today when we get into the Rural Planning Commission minutes. There's a mistake in there, and I didn't catch it. Did today. But that means I didn't read the minutes. There's a couple of questions I had in the Rural Fire Protection Committee that there's a big element in that $1.5 million that was not brought up. I guess it wasn't told to the Rural Fire Protection Committee of how that money is going to be dispersed and when it can be dispersed. That's a really key to starting down that trail for the fire protection, Rural Fire Protection District. That's a scary one. And I didn't read that until today because I didn't read the minutes. That's my fault. That's not that the system is completely broken. I don't think we're utilizing the system. Plus, we have Annette. I think you said it. Annette was to come on board, and Annette was to kind of oversee and, I think, channel the information to us that comes from all over to her. She was going to be. The thing was, we need a single point of contact in the commissioner's office. Well, we've got it. Are we utilizing that like it was designed to do? I don't think we are. I think that Annette could say, you know, well, here's a list of the things from the committees, because I've gone over it, and these are things that were kind of discussed, and these are things I think the board needs to hear about. And just a one-liner, if nothing else. I already knew about the economic development thing. Why? Because Larry called me this morning and told me about his presentation yesterday at CEDC. Mm-hmm. I said, great job. That's exactly where we want to go. How was it received? And he said, I think it was received pretty well. They didn't make any decision, but it was received pretty well. So I think, you know, we are, you're absolutely right. And we're by design, we're not really allowed to sit down, and unless it's a meeting like this, and maybe like you say, we have liaison reports, and it's a requirement that in the general discussion or one of the meetings a week, you say, how many meetings, which meetings did you attend, and what did you discuss, and is there anything that, we talked about two new people on the airport board. Did they come to any decision? No, they're still hashing that out. Or, you know, what do we do with the runway extension? Who have we contacted? You know, those are things that, you know, they don't have anything yet to come to before the board, but they do have one on this end, on the new house that's going in out there, back to being a mobile home, and so on and so forth. Keep the board abreast of that. And that could really, honest to goodness, really iron out some of the quarterly reports. We have quarterly report, but quarterly is not often enough, is what I'm hearing from both of you. And I agree with that. But I don't think, like I say, I've established working relationships with Rob Brandis. I've established working relationship with Sheriff, with Nate, with Tamara. You know, Ryan Johnson. You know, you're in construction, I'm in construction. We can both speak the language at Ryan Johnson. We know what his challenges are on a job. We had a talk yesterday because there was a possible leak in the arena roof. And I said, you know, we really need to be cautious on that. And he goes, yeah, I know that. You know, membrane roof, you've worked on them yourself. I said, my people always took a felt pen with them when they're on a membrane roof. When they drop their screwdriver, instead of going, oops, they mark it on the roof and circle where the screwdriver fell so they can check that for a leak later on. He says, I'm on board. We talk that way. Because that's my background. And so I'm not going to give up. In fact, I will fight tooth and nail for the departments I have right now because I've established that relationship over the last 3 years. And I think it may not be working well after that relationship, and that's my fault. If I'm required to say, okay, we've really got to, as Commissioner Morgan says, maybe we should just sit down and have a deal on there and say, you better bring something to the table. Not the dog ate my homework or whatever. I think we really need to go through. We need to be more, and we can talk openly in a meeting like this. So let's pick that time to talk. That's I'm plenty pleased with it. I don't think it's time for me to get off of RV Act after the 10 years of success we've had at RV Act and say, okay, I'm going to step in there and do something and try to establish a relationship with Art Anderson or Gary Leeming or any of the people. It's just not the time to shift gears. It's time to be included, no doubt about it. I don't need to be the only voice in the room, but I think that everybody, we need to get, I don't know anything about public health except that Mike's my neighbor. You know, we talk more through the window of his car than we ever do in the meeting. You're the expert on public health, mental health, and all that. You know, he was here, and the big thing was too many breast pumps when he got here. So, well, those are things that I don't know about. So that's mine.
Well, I appreciate that. Round and round we go.
Thank you. I had suggested that we actually have a workshop, and we spend a day just one at a time going through these. I looked at our charter regarding the chair's duties, and it's not defined other than you start the meetings, and it's got a provision that if you're not there, the vice chair does the meetings. Enforce the rules of the board. Okay, those rules are established by ordinance and posted over next door, usually, and they will be again. and then item four, have whatever additional functions the board prescribes consistent with this charter. We've never defined the role of liaison. We've never defined if it's more than... There's no authority to do evaluations. There's no authority to give assignments. There's no authority to discipline. There's no authority to do anything as a liaison unless the full board prescribes that detail. And because we've never defined it, it's inconsistent. So Dan's style is to be in his office on Monday mornings and check in with all his folks. Okay. My style is to say, let me know if I need to know something. And I got a text this morning from one and was talking to one of mine before I got here. You know, it's kind of like, as it comes up, I need to know. But I don't need to necessarily know every week what's going on. But one example that we've talked about that could absolutely, I've talked to commissioners from other counties to see how they do it. I think the manager meeting can be all three commissioners, and we get a check-in from every department every month. What's going on? What's up? What are you dealing with? What are you doing? And just a check-in around the table, and we all get the update every month. And, you know, Fred Borngasser is who reminded me that that meeting is a public meeting today. It's required to have an agenda in minutes because items out of that meeting advise the board at some point. That falls under public meeting law. So the whole reason why they say we only want one commissioner and you're only invited to stay for 10 minutes is we don't want to share the information to the public. It is a public meeting. It's not going to change if all three commissioners are there, except it's noticed. But we still are elected as a full board to run the county. And part of that is we're not elected to be liaison to certain departments. That's a function that was internally done, and it was only done in the last 9 years. There were not liaisons before that time. And so as things are tried, you determine, is it better? Is it worse? Is it working? Is it not? There's always a time to evaluate. Can we improve upon something, or is it working great and you keep it going that way? And if we don't ever talk about it and we don't define it, we don't know necessarily what's working or not. But what I can tell you is why I have advocated for the full board to do evaluations, why I have advocated for the full board to get information, is because then you have a consistency of information that has gone to the full board. We're all on the same page, and you can determine then that everybody was treated fairly because everybody was involved. I don't want somebody to say, well, I didn't get a fair evaluation because Lily did it, and I got a fair evaluation because Dan did it. I can tell you that in law enforcement, public safety, for instance, they have at Grants Pass Department of Public Safety, we had supervisors that rotated regularly, and there are some you liked and some you didn't. And they rotated to keep the supervisor's skills sharp in other areas. Some of them were better in this area than that, but the idea was that they were fully rounded because you never know when you're going to be called upon to fill in. And did employees want that other one? No, I can tell you one of them was a really good evaluator and was fair and impartial and highlighted your strengths and your weaknesses and gave you goals to work on. And one of them was really a bear and wouldn't point out anything positive. And you were stuck with whichever one in rotation. But if those supervisors don't get the chance to rotate and do the other, it was actually, in the end, better for a well-rounded leadership. And they still do it. Just this year, I got a new lieutenant over the 911 board because the two lieutenants swapped positions. And the one that had been in charge of communication is now in charge of patrol and other stuff. And now they swapped. And I think that that's something to be benefit, that the relationships that you have, Dan, are awesome. And what I would say is I would strive to learn that information and build those relationships as well. And I'm not saying you have to have public health because quite frankly, it is a lot of meetings and a lot of committees. But we've also never defined that. We've never defined advisory boards and what's expected. My first year, I was told, don't go to that one. You don't have to. And I finally was talking to someone and said, what is this meeting about anyhow? I get emails every once in a while, and they're like, it was a lack of information of what was the importance of the mental health advisory board. I'm like, what is that? And it took me investigating and finding out, what is this about? Why does it even exist? And started attending. But I still question, and that's out of that came AMPAC. You know, was it working as efficiently as it should? Could it be better? So I don't think it's saying that everything's wrong, but I think that we are elected as a board, and that checks and balances that we each bring different strengths. We each bring different perspectives. And, you know, I appreciate that you both have worked in construction for 30 years. My dad was a contractor, and I could frame a house and site a house and roof a house as a kid, because I was the one going to work with my dad sometimes and helping do those projects. And does that mean I know everything about construction? Nope. But I know I can change an electrical device in my house, and I know how not to get shocked. And
That's not plugging in a toaster, Lily. It's actually getting into the...
Yeah, no, I mean taking socket. A light fixture out of the ceiling and getting the wires, you know, in the little nuts together and all that and splicing it in. I've helped plumb my house. With the solder and the copper and all that other kind of stuff. Does that mean that I'm the construction expert? No. But it also means that I'm not unaware of what Ryan talks about. And each of us have leadership strengths because we don't have to be experts in each of the fields that we're dealing with. We have experts we hire that we work with, and leadership is doing that. The sheriff had never run a jail before he was elected. But he has staff and experts that advise him in the jail, and he's the administrator over that function and can make decisions based on his leadership skills. We all have that ability to learn and stretch in different ways. And I'm not saying I want to toss up everything. I really am kind of protective of the work that I've done with a couple of my departments and the growth that we've seen there. But that's not what I was elected to do. I was elected to be part of a board. And so as a board, we have to make the decisions as administrators, as legislators, as the quasi-judicial that's for the best of our community. And part of that is us all being equipped with the same information. I would love us and have a workshop where we define what the liaison roles are. And so that we know what's expected of us and the department heads know what's expected in that process. So whether it's public works or public health, they're getting a consistent response because it's what the board has defined for those roles to be. And that we're able to do it fairly and consistently. And, part of it is we're not all meant to have the same decisions, but we are meant to work together. And that trust of building in that knowing that, I'm sorry, I did tell the fire committee that we can't use that $1.5 million until after a fire district is created, but that we're advocating with Senator Berchiger to get a line in this session that we can maybe use some of it for this feasibility study.
But it isn't after it's created. It's after it is approved by the voter. That's the key. If it is never, it can be created. You can create all you want, send it to the voter. Voter shoots it down, and you don't get the $1.5 million.
That's not true. The board has the authority to do an ordinance today, and we can create a district with no tax base. And then that district is created. It doesn't have to go to the board.
Right, but do we get the $1.5 million from what Herman Bertrand, what he brought back, said, if it is not approved by the voter, the $1.5 million, we can create it.
There is nothing in the language of House Bill 5050 about a voter-approved district. It just says after the formation of a district.
You'd still have to go to the voter to get a tax.
Correct.
Right, to get a fee or whatever
Correct.
You want to call it.
But the commissioners have the authority to create a district. That's how Wolf Creek District was created.
And let's not get too far afield.
No, but that's just it. Is part of it is, we all have different roles, and we don't know what each other are doing in those roles as liaison. But if we have a mechanism... And I wanted to bring something up as well about Annette. Annette came in, and we had ideas of what we were going to have her do. But I tell you, we threw a lot. Okay, go be on this committee, the move courthouse movement. Go do fire committee. That came up after we created the job. That's a weekly meeting with minutes and getting stuff. Okay, she's now the public information thing. And because I'm so popular, there's weekly requests for public information that keep her very busy. And, yes, that was tongue-in-cheek. I'm sorry. And quite frankly, she wasn't meant to be the conduit of everything that happens in the county. She was going to be the conduit to the manager's meeting, and maybe that could be the thing. Well, it's still not working. I still think that manager meeting would be most best attended if it was all three of us and it was monthly, and we got an update from the departments. If there needs to be an agenda, they can have an agenda thing there, but... that could be more productive and for us getting information. And then maybe we don't look at the quarterly reports the same way. But if things come to the full board and say, we'd like to do this, And then you say, great, work with your liaison to work out the details, and then it will come back to us for a vote. You know, you got a blessing on going on a project, but we were all presented up front. Who knows? Maybe that won't work. But I can say that without it being defined, without us giving authority to a liaison specifically, nothing we do as liaison is endorsed by the board unless we define it. According to our charter, at least taking the role of what they say for chairman, there's nothing in the charter about liaison. We're elected as a board.
This came out of the board handbook. Right. Liaison, CFO responsibilities, and clarification. Responsibilities is 3 pages long.
What handbook?
Came right out of the commissioner orientation handbook.
Okay. Is there an order or a personnel policy or something behind it? That's
everybody
something that anybody
can Everybody says that it's not defined anywhere, but it is defined somewhere. How it got there,
it's a policy, not an order. Right?
It's not even a policy if we didn't... If there's, let's go back and see where's the policy that's without it. We've asked for this stuff. How many meetings did I sit in and
well,
say what's the role
needs,
of the liaison?
I agreed that it needs to be looked at. I'm not questioning that at all.
And so let me.
But as far as we're gonna go through and because we're just gonna upend the whole and going to the manager's meeting. I myself personally, I've been to half a dozen of them. I'm there for 10 minutes and I leave because you know why. As far as I'm concerned, it's a manager's meeting. And you know, from what I heard today from 2 people that said, when do the managers, when do we get to talk freely? I said, you can talk to me. I think that's what the manager's meeting is all about. You say, yes, it's a public meeting. Yes, it is. I'm not arguing that. But not only do they not want one of us there, I was told, hey, if we just as soon not have elected officials in the room. And if you think you're left out, I guess you can feel left out, but then the other side is well, we don't want elected officials listening to them and what they need, they feel they need to talk freely, and they say we just assume there not be any elected officials in the room, and then your answer is nope, all 3 of us need to be there, and we're going to be sitting in the corner. Every time I go talk to Aaron Kubik in the city, I walk into the room by myself. And he's got every person he can possibly gather in that room, people that don't have anything to do with the subject matter at hand, but it's intimidation. I don't like that. I really don't like that at all.
This isn't meant to be intimidation in any way.
How many elected officials attend that meeting? Is it none? Is it not?
All of them but us.
Right. The sheriff shows up.
Clerk.
Connie shows up. Okay,
treasurer.
So they're
all of them.
They're all fulfilling their directorship
director
role.
Roles. Yeah.
Right, and in making that meeting. Okay, I just wanted to make sure, because I've only been to one.
But this is not the same government structure as the city. If it were, Aaron Kubik has weekly manager meetings as the administrator with his entire department heads. We are not allowed as a body to meet with our...
But he doesn't... But the city council doesn't say, no, we all want to be in on those meetings.
They are not the same elected status as we are. We are elected administrators. That is a very distinct difference between us and the city council. And so we are Aaron Kubik in TRI. We are a 3-person Aaron Kubik working together, elected as one, to work as a board together. And if we try to reduce our function to just city councilors and legislative over... What? That's not our function. Until the government structure of the county changes, we are the elected administrators, and that's why we need to be in the room with our department heads, knowing what's going on as the governing body of the county. I appreciate that the managers would like to have a time to speak without it. They also go to lunch. They also go do other things.
Well, why can't they have that meeting and then come in here on their quarterly report days?
It's not frequently
it.
Enough
not the same.
To have do, us familiar with... There's things that are going on.
Do we get quarterlies from elected officials?
No.
Because I haven't seen the sheriff's office in here.
We don't.
No.
It literally... I'm sorry, but that was a meeting that all the commissioners attended until the Dale Matthews thing. And they... We're asked to not be there and not do our job so that the public don't have the information. That's not going to fly. We are supposed to do business in front of the public. And it's not intimidating for us all to get the information and have a conversation about what's going on in the county, what's going on That's what the manager meetings are supposed to do. Somebody says, I got something going on. The pool of the room is supposed to kind of, okay, well, I've dealt with that. Suggest this. When I was a supervisor level at corrections, we had a weekly manager meeting there. And we were supposed to, all right, this is what I got on my division. This is what I got in my division. And say, hey, have you tried this? I suggest this. And you do pull that stuff. But the difference is that we didn't ask Nate not to be there as the department head. And the managers, if they want their meeting, then when's our meeting with our department heads? Once a year at a goal setting we've done once is not enough. The quarterly is a report of what's done already, but you don't know along the way what's going on. You know, there's things that happen, and
I want them to have the opportunity to speak without us in the room. I want them to have that opportunity. If it's once a month, call a manager's meeting. I'm willing to give that to them.
Okay.
I'm not willing to say, no, I need to be looking over your shoulder 24/7. Because I really do think we've got...
Going to a monthly manager meeting is not looking over their shoulder 24/7. And it's not even micromanaging. It's saying, what do you got going on right now? Let's get an update. If we want to do it in this room, and once a month we say, okay, come on, 5 minutes at a time, we're going to do, what do you got this week? What do you got this month? We could do that if you want to give them their own manager meeting. But we have no time as a full board other than quarterly. And what happens? Oh, those quarterly meetings get missed. It's 6 months in between a department head update. That is not enough for us as a full board to have the information of what's going on. And, you know, I'd love to give you guys an update on what's going on with the BLM Land Exchange. But I could use your help because it involves, and your help, but I haven't had a meeting since the information came up about a side effect that we need to take into consideration before we go forward. We don't have a mechanism for it. So there is a meeting already that exists that could be that mechanism, the manager meeting, because the other electeds are there and the department heads are meeting with, we're the administrator. So it is an opportunity for us as a full board to say, hey, great, I love that idea. Work with your liaison. Or, great, just got the information, don't need more right now, you know, that kind of thing. But, you know, we've been asked a couple times to have things get approved automatically or increase contract signing authority based on budgets. Well, I'd love to see our budget sessions then get expanded greatly. Every department come before the budget committee now and describe how many new positions are you budgeting for this year and where's the funding coming from? What projects do you have coming up? And then there's a vetting process through the budget committee. So then when they come up through the year and we want to change the contract of signing authority to give more, we can show that it was vetted. And so unless we do that, where was the vetting? The public is expecting us to vet things. But this is all stuff that I think a workshop where we can take some time and, all right, let's talk about this one. Let's write on the whiteboard. Let's work out the details. Because it is unique that we're not an administrator, that we three encompass the administrator function.
Yeah, I agree that whatever we're doing now isn't working at its full capacity. But I want to try and... We're skipping around on this list.
True.
And so it's hard to get to a conclusion on one. So I like the idea of a workshop. I just want to know if there's anything we can do today. Because in selection of liaisons, when I came on board, you guys were kind to me, knowing I was a new commissioner, and I did not get the same workload that you two have. I did slip in and steal a couple along the way, mining and Board of Property Tax Appeals, which I'm very excited about my training next week. That sounds sincere.
It'll be riveting.
It should be riveting. And so because there's no policy on liaisons, it's up to the personality of the existing board, which is usually only 2 years long. And so either we're trying to set a policy for the board going forward. This is what all boards will do. If you want to change the policy, change the policy. Is kind of where I'm trying to head, so that it's not a question, because we're bumping around it from three viewpoints, and we're not quite coming to a conclusion, because it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's difficult. And so I'm almost of a mind to kind of let the liaison roles still continue where they are. There's only 1 year till an election or a little less. I wouldn't mind trying to steal facilities or something to try and lighten your load a little bit. And I'm working on the movement committee, so it's relevant. Small moves like that, I think I'm up for. As far as making a policy for rotation and chunking up and putting them in columns, I'm starting to back down from that original feeling I had, saying let's leave that till next year. After we see what happens with the election. Maybe we could have a little more going forward because there'd be two commissioners that had 4-year terms that could carry that policy forward. Mm-hmm. But
could we work on it to have it ready?
We could talk about it.
Come into.
Uh-huh. Yep. But the contract signing authority, those first two, are one I don't know if we can just address today and lighten that load on that workshop. Because what do you think of just leaving the liaisons the way they are this year? It sounds like that was where you were at, Dan. You're comfortable where you're at.
I'm not overburdened because I have a different way of going about it.
Lily?
I guess my question would be to you, is there anything you would like changed? Because you weren't given an option. Is there anything that you mentioned?
Well, I kind of liked it that way, Lily.
You did? Okay, that works.
I mean, we sat down in a restaurant up there in Eugene, uh-huh. and you and I pretty well
at
took
a conference
what we
in Eugene, not a restaurant. Let me be clear.
We actually didn't talk about it before now.
No.
And
we did at the AOC conference. Us three talked about these liaison roles.
But you weren't there this year. We didn't sit down and talk.
No, we didn't this year.
We did not.
And like I said, I'm offering to take facilities.
What's STAC? STAC?
I don't know.
Special Transportation Advisory.
Transportation? Okay.
It's by Scott Chancey.
Okay, Transit, yeah.
Which fits in that transportation one.
Well, and I think there's things that aren't even defined here. For instance, there's the DiBello. That's a different function. There's...
don't use acronyms. What?
Disadvantaged Business Enterprise Liaison Officer. It's what you guys sent me to the training in L.A. for after...
Well, here's one. The Tesla Owners of America Committee.
None of us will be on that one. Everybody
gets a fire extinguisher?
Any agency that receives federal transportation dollars is required to have a DiBello.
Right.
And I can tell you, I have spent hours in front of my computer entering reports on behalf of airports, and they get kicked back from the FAA, and we got a document. And it's my signature on those forms. That's why I wanted to do the training for it. But we're required for transit as well, and it would be appropriate to make sure that that is covered. But anyhow, back to my question. Are there anything else that, Darren, that you were interested in? I think one of the other things we have to deal is we did not deal with the chair roles as far as at some point chair was liaison to this department and the other ISF departments. I had asked about being liaison to IT because I knew I was assigned to work on the website. And so it was kind of a project working alongside there. But those are ISF answer to the full board traditionally, and then the liaison can be chair unless we define it as split it up. So we haven't defined that. And going back to the charter, if it's not defined by the board, it's still that they just answer to the full board. There was something that came up that Wally came to me as chair and did, but it wasn't... It's kind of like, who do you go to, you know? So I think that should be defined. Because we have certain things that come up through the year that we say...
Do you have a copy of what they're looking at, Dan? They've got a draft policy.
No, who's looking at?
It doesn't look like it's found your desk yet. So. Okay.
It's not in the pile there? Check under your...
Sorry about that.
Check under this. There's papers under this one. Okay. Oh, no, that's not
that. I don't want to interrupt you, but I was sensing Dan maybe didn't have a copy of that. So.
Yeah, gee, case in point.
there it is. This is.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Appreciate that.
This is what they're talking
about. Yeah, this is
swell.
Kind of the framework of the conversation, which I don't know if chair roles fits on this, commissioner liaison authority, but It kind of does.
It does if we don't define that the chair is the liaison. And that was suspended last year. Oh, by the way, if you turn the paper over, there's one item on the back.
It's on the back.
Yes.
Roll the board chair.
To me, it fits there. Under liaison. If
I was able to fit it on
this. We changed the role of the chair after last year when you came on board. Because the chair prior to that, that was one of the sticking points that I think you and I had. The chair was just doing all these things, and it came down to December 31st. And at December 31st, all of a sudden, going into January 1, we got saddled with stuff we had no clue about. Ah, the chair did that, the chair did that. And we took, very much like when Mayor Murphy, not to refer to the city, but Mayor Murphy was taking a lot of policy by himself that he really shouldn't have done. When you look at the role of the mayor is to run the meeting and dedicate a rock in Riverside Park. Doesn't have any advocation on the board, on the thing, and the chair is here, if you look at the role of the chair in that handbook, is to run the meeting. And has some signing authority. But as far as the chair goes, I think the important parts like legal, legal's under the chair. IT's under the chair, clerk's under the chair, and all this under the chair. I think those are very important things that need to be under the whole board. That is one where collectively we need to know exactly what's going on with legal.
And all I three agree. And
we see legal
change,
all the time, yes. But we don't see Rhiannon all the time, and we don't see Eve all the time. Okay. We don't see. And those are the important part. I think it's for the chair to say, no, I approve that. And we all have to answer for it, because there's times that the chair would do something, and all of a sudden you get asked out on the street, they go, never heard of that.
But there are things that come up that those department has that a liaison signing authority under current policy would do. And so we need to define.
Then the communication needs to be open.
But they should. Do they need to come to all three commissioners if there's a position that they're hiring and they need to have it start at step four instead of step one? Which is something a liaison signs off on right now.
Mm-hmm.
And
I did the other day.
I would say they answer to the full board, but let's define which one is their liaison for signing purposes. Because I think we can split up those duties. And again, you felt that you got a light load coming in, and you were given the leftovers. Is there anything on here? You said facilities. I would support that. I think it fits with you doing that committee. But is there anything else?
Forestry might fit under mining, like you mentioned, but it might also fit under forest management. There's.
But that's true. Streeter, under the mining committee, does forestry and mining, which
he's the mining administrator.
The mining administrator. But we should look at the name of that committee. Should it be the Mining Advisory Committee?
Or
the Natural Resources Advisory Committee. I don't
probably know. Should, because it seems to be single focused right now.
But
it does have a formal role, though, in processing of mining applications.
Okay, so and that makes sense to keep in mind.
5.02.
Like I said, I like the ones I by default in some ways got, because it is a light load. I have elected officials that I don't have a large role with. They run their offices in what they're elected to do. And so unless there's a political problem, it usually doesn't make it to me or to you guys. But I think going forward, for future commissioners' sake, we should try and have this defined. And so I like where we're headed. I just want us to realize how hard it is that we're not going to finish it today. Mm-mm. But we need to work on it this year so that we're getting somewhere. When I see how many you have, Dan, which is quite a few, and not light committees either. Like I said, I would offer to take over that forestry one and the facilities one.
I would like to talk to the forestry guy and to the facilities guy.
I just want to offer.
There's a comfort zone there, and we've worked together for 3 years. And I say, you know what? I'm bailing, and Darren's taking over, and that's all there's to it.
Right. It's not bailing. I want to hear from them. It's us balancing workload.
I'm big on perception. And if they take it another way, I think we've got a fantastic organization here. I think we've got absolutely the best of the best in the places they need to be. And I'm not the kind of guy that wants to go in there and tell my wife, I don't like the knives on this part of the drawer. I want them over on this part of the drawer because she's the one that gets the knives out.
I don't think any of us do
and
that.
I just think that, you know, that's the response I got was, what's busted?
What's busted broken? Is communication
what's
still.
What's broken? Broken, right. Exactly, and I'm okay with that.
Communication.
But I'm not saying that the whole thing needs to scrap and start all over again, because I disagree with that. But that's just my opinion, that I don't think it needs to be scrapped. I think it needs to be tweaked. We've got some people on board here now. We've got Annette's on board. I think she's underutilized for some of the questions that you had. And some of the questions that we have.
We needed to find the things that are going to her, because she's working weekends and nights to keep up with what we have given her right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe we should redefine.
Well, maybe we should.
Well, that's all part of this year. I think we've seen what possibilities are there with office.
We don't know what the position was going to be.
Right. And so it's part of growing into that. Mm-hmm. Not only, fortunately or unfortunately, your personality is going to be injected into the roles of that person. But also, I think we need to have them defined for the sake of department heads, for the sake of the public, and for the sake of future commissioners. And so let's not drop this, but I do think it's longer than a two-hour meeting trying to decide these things. And so I would encourage us all as commissioners to write down a few notes under each of these bullet points. So that when
I'd
we come
like
back,
to go, an opportunity to go over the bullet points, that'd be swell.
Since you just got them. Yeah, and then we'll come back and we'll have this discussion every couple weeks until we can start ticking some of these off.
Mm-hmm.
And taking them off and going, okay, we've decided that one. Because I think contract signing authority is very important. But it can be abused at the level it's at now if there isn't a full trust in reporting to the board what's going on. And so I want to close that crack a little bit and get it back to where the full board's making some of those decisions that come to the $49,000 level or whatever.
Well, and even so, I mean, there wasn't asked to move it up to $100,000 if it was budgeted. So I was trying to think of, okay, I'm the one waving the red flags and saying, where's the vetting? Okay, well, maybe there's something we can do to increase vetting so that we can allow that and not just saying, well, that doesn't sound right.
But I hope it doesn't slip back. You know, you put it at $100,000 and then we have the requirement for that $100,000 signing authority, and then boards down the road go, yeah, well, they said $100,000, but no basis for that. And then all of a sudden, now you got some guy that just came in here and he said, oh, yeah, $100,000, sure, I can sign. That $100,000 out there is a ton of money.
Especially for one out of three to
$50,000 on an emergency thing. Hey, I got $50,000 and I need to do that. We had an opportunity the other day that we had to do a real quickie over the phone for the sheriff's department. Fine, I signed it. You better believe it, because of the opportunity that came up and it had to be done by the end of the year. So we did it. Shame on me, but we did it.
No, and there are times like that. But then I think the next meeting, during information sharing or liaison reports, you ought to say, hey, here's what happened, so that we don't hear it through the grapevine. Mm-hmm. We know what's happening, and you can tell us why. And then we go, oh, yeah, we can help defend that when we're asked and not get blindsided by someone asking, hey, what happened there? I'm like, man, I have no idea. Because I don't want to put you in that position, and I don't want to be in that spot.
Just FYI on the list, IT is not on here.
And IT, I think, should be the whole board, because we all use IT. IT represents all of us.
So I don't disagree that some of these answer the full board on giving information and working with, but there is times that they need a liaison signature on something,
mm-hmm.
and it shouldn't hop on whichever commissioner you should find. There should be consistency. So in their function, they answer to everybody, but we could say for signing, so-and-so gets this one, so-and-so gets this one, so-and-so gets this one.
Or the chair gets it or something.
Yeah.
But I think the ones that are full board ought to be to the office manager. That
she doesn't
that
have
information,
signing authority.
No, she wouldn't sign.
Okay.
It still may have to be the chair or the designee if we did liaisons.
I
think some, if we're reporting to the full board, we're asking a department head to make three appointments separately when they have an idea that's not
fully vetted, and so I have concerns about leaving those ones that are full board to one liaison.
I don't mind. Your expertise is in that computer. You live and die by that thing, and I don't even know how to turn it on. So I don't want to get a situation where IT comes to me for the sign when I don't even know what they just said. You're comfortable with that, but same thing with Ryan Johnson can come in here, or Public Works can come in here and talk about a track hole for crying out loud. You know, then I don't want them getting comfortable saying, you know, I'm going to go to Lily because she doesn't know a darn thing about a track hole. I'm going to go over to Dion because he doesn't know anything about IT. I could just rattle off a bunch of stuff and he'll sign it. I think we got to be real cautious on that because there's an awful lot about this organization I don't know. Health department, so on and so forth. Dog control. You know, well, there's a
but
lot
we
of
need
stuff.
To improve that so that
but
we all have a better understanding.
That's part of the workshop.
So let's come up with a proposal of what that workshop would look like. Whether you and Annette, because you seem to have an idea in your head that might give us a launching point.
Create an agenda for a workshop. Yeah.
Because, yeah, I'd love to go down this list.
That's what I would recommend.
Yeah, the agenda would look like that.
I know somebody who could facilitate it for us, probably volunteer, if you want a third party to do it, unless you want Wally and Annette to just facilitate it and work us through it.
Well, if you have a volunteer, I'd love to extol their virtues afterwards.
That makes sense to
me. It does, because I think it's nice to bring some fresh eyes and for us to have no lingering thoughts towards any facilitator, good or better. All right. Well, I think we cracked open the coconut there and started getting pretty far.
That discussion was long overdue.
It is, and needs to not end today. We need to have this, like I said, every other week or something until we get it through.
And it's key in the conversation that we're not saying that the department heads are lacking in something. It's not at all. This is not meant to do. I remember Rob Brandis standing up in defense in a meeting and saying, all of us department heads are confused about the role of liaisons. Yeah. And so let's take that confusion out so that we know that this is the function, and this will be the process, and this is, and then we have our guidelines, and so that we know that whether it's me in that seat or Dan in the seat or Darren, we're consistent in that response because we know what the board has authorized.
Okay, like I said, sounds good. Good start. Let's look at item 3: review rural planning commission minutes.
Maybe you've
had a chance to look at them.
Yes.
Can I ask you a question before you go on the Rural Planning Commission?
Oh, yes.
I'm the liaison to that, and you and I had a hallway conversation about whether to go to those or not because of ex parte contact or information I'd have that they don't have.
Yes.
Is that still your position on that?
Yes, ideally, on matters that would eventually be appealable to the board, we wouldn't have commissioners sitting in on those because that would be additional information.
That's a good way of saying that.
Does that make sense?
It does. I just want to make sure I wasn't dropping my role.
No.
As liaison.
No, I advise that it would be probably ex parte contact to be attending those meetings. I'm painting broad brush here, but generally speaking, probably would be, which can be cured typically at the beginning of a meeting. But
with a disclaimer,
but it's not supposed to be.
And I'd like to have the same view that you guys have of those things and not some special inside view. Mm-hmm. So I like that suggestion.
You need to hear it when we hear it, not prior to.
Yes.
Gotcha.
So how does that work for meeting minutes? Of reading minutes of a rural planning commission. They only meet when there's an agenda item to come before them, and technically everything they see is appealable to the board. Mm-hmm. So when is it appropriate for us to read their minutes that doesn't put us in an ex parte contact?
Good point. When the whole board receives them through the normal channel.
Then we can all see them, and we've had the same view.
We're all seeing them.
So then we get into hearing on a topic that was in the minutes, and we say we've all read the minutes from the meeting?
Yeah, typically the minutes are going to be in the
presentation.
But in the presentation, they'll have
the planning department, ever.
They'll have the commission's result in the presentation anyway, and then we take public comment. So we'd already seen it anyway.
It's not their minutes in the presentation. No. It is usually their document of their decisions in staff report.
Decision.
Not minutes.
We haven't seen an appeal this year, right?
if the applicant doesn't have any objection, then I guess they don't have to put them in. But if the applicant objected, we'd have to put them in.
Right.
Good practice.
We used to get a bunch of public works, and we haven't in the last year.
I don't think there's any issue with reading the minutes.
Okay.
Right.
As long as they're all provided to the board simultaneously, you know, from the from the entity.
And see, I don't know. This was on my chair this morning when it came in, so I don't know when it was received by the others or not.
Got you.
Okay.
Right, but once it's available, it's one swap, one throw of minutes.
Yes.
Yep. You'd never treat us individually.
These all came about, and I signed them. I signed it because it was said you have to sign all these minutes. I'm the only one that signed it. But on the August 26th, 19, I'll pull up Commissioner Morgan, who's very good at catching these things. It's not James Chambers, it's Joan Chambers.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
There's a James Cunningham and a John
Members
Chambers.
Members absent, Nathaniel Duarte, Ron Wright, and James Chambers, it's John.
No, wait, that says James Cunningham on mine. Is it a different one?
Chambers. It's
another
26th
month.
Meeting.
Okay.
The next month's meeting.
Well, and so...
And I signed it.
To me, this is one of those things that is also undefined for us. Because I had got to a point where there was a document that was created by staff that two commissioners had signed before I got to it, and it was wrong. There was no... and in this case, it was the journal. And so if two have signed it, you have the majority. And for me to come in last and change it, they haven't seen that change because they've already signed it. So the mechanism of fixing an error in minutes or journal has not been defined. And when I asked, there was no mechanism. And that's why for a while I said, I'm not going to sign if there's not a mechanism to fix, because I'm not going to sign that something's wrong.
Well, then maybe we shouldn't sign until it gets on our agenda like it did today. And we all have a chance to look at it. And then we could sign it after the meeting. Say, yes, we looked at it. Any concerns? Any concerns? Any concerns? No. Then let's sign it.
That works.
The public has access to draft minutes. So you're not holding anybody's public record request up, for example.
Does the Josephine County Fire Protection Committee have a chair?
Yes.
And who is that?
Richard Wharton.
Okay.
Yep. Because I'm looking at...
And a vice chair. The first two meetings they didn't.
They picked it on the third meeting.
Okay, because I see you up in both meetings, and I was wondering, gee, are you the chairman?
No.
Nope. She was just there to kick it off.
I didn't get to the third
one
to say.
And what happened the second meeting, I was going to try to kick it off sooner. Questions came in, and it took an hour of discussion, and it was like, okay.
That's quite a subject you guys are trying to cover in a short amount of time. I'll agree. Okay, so looking at the planning, thank you for that,
thank you all,
sir. Any problem with the Rural Planning Commission minutes? Any reason the board shouldn't sign off?
I haven't read them yet, but...
It's interesting. But that's the thing, you know, I, like I say, we sat down and read these this morning. It was interesting because it's, you know, Creek Haven and so on and so forth. I didn't know
that
was even going on
good,
out there.
That's a good procedural thing for us to do. Those minutes come to us, we address them at a meeting,
and then we sign. We haven't historically had good minutes until Trish took that on and said, I'm going to get these minutes because we need
Kudos
to bring them up
for
today.
Trish.
That's what Sandy Castanelli was complaining about. You guys are way back on your minutes. That is really one of the avenues that we should take to just sit down in the privacy office, close the door, and read the minutes and find out kind of what went on. And then
if we have any...
At the Airport Advisory Committee, you know what? I've read that. What in the heck went on out there? Well, it was a cat fight.
Okay, just one other... so the minutes from August 26th, one other correction.
August 25th?
So Commissioner DeYoung found that James Chambers was member absent?
Yeah.
If you look at what they have in the August 5th minutes, they have John Chambers first, and they have James Cunningham as the member absent.
Mm-hmm. So who is absent?
But in the
James
August
Cunningham
26th...
It
says John Cunningham is present and James Chambers is absent. So it's the first name of each of them swapped, and we don't know which is which.
We don't know which one was that.
So we need a clarification.
So that is not clear, yeah. If it's, I guess you can try to see in the minutes if anybody is... Commissioner Cunningham findings were approved to submit. So that tells me that it was John Chambers absent, John and James Cunningham that was present, based on what the minutes say. But I've also had minutes that I'm presenting something and it doesn't, not every, here's the thing, we've never had training for advisory boards. We don't have training for advisory board chairs. We don't
that
have.
That needs to change.
I have found that in all the advisory boards I attend, they are all mostly staff driven, where the staff creates the agenda and the minutes are staff reported. And then you have one like Mining Advisory Committee, where the chair creates the agenda and they have a secretary that presents the minutes.
When they have decision power, in some regard, reviewing mining applications. Is that just a recommendation?
It's a recommendation.
Okay.
Not a decision, but a recommendation. But we have not, in the 3 years I've been here, ever talked about advisory boards either. And
right.
How each one is done or...
Golly, we ought to have a workshop on that too. Because I think there should be... I think there should be chair training. But I think Wally could do a YouTube video and they could play that at their leisure and they'd know. It doesn't have to be some formal class you go to.
But that was one of the questions that came up about the fire committee. Okay, the chair's going to create the agenda and so who's going to do the minutes? And it's like, well, if you look at every other advisory board countywide minus mining advisory, they're all staff driven. So is it the chair that does it or is it the staff? And honestly, it's not defined.
Right.
It's not defined. So another area to define. But, okay, sorry. I just was looking through the...
James Cunningham. John Chambers.
Right.
Which, on the names, we got that. But on the they swapped them in this one. That. But since they have Commissioner Cunningham making motions, that tells me he was there and he was in the vote.
Cunningham was an aye.
Yeah, so James Cunningham was who was present, and John Chambers was who was absent.
Well, and here's my suggestion going forward. Let's say it was the Fire Protection Committee minutes, the next one, just because it's less convoluted. I would think that whoever the liaison was would review it so that when we came to the meeting, like today, you'd have already reviewed the minutes since you were there, and if we had any questions, you could answer them. You'd give us an update or defend those minutes, so to speak. What happened at your meeting, and then we could all sign off on it.
I think this also is going to send a message to the committees that they need to get their minutes in.
Right. And that we're treating
an airport advisor.
Committees don't make their minutes. Okay, so that's another exemption.
Airport advisor, we're going to recorded meetings because can't anybody take the minutes? And then it goes to Trish and she translates, correct?
I haven't done anything yet.
Well, quite frankly, I can tell you that's going to be difficult for her to listen to seven voices she doesn't know if somebody doesn't, before they speak, say, I'm John Smith.
That's up to the chair, and we've said that at the Airport Advisory Committee. Before you speak, you tell us who you are.
Here's the thing.
That could be a policy for all advisory boards.
So
yeah.
Airport Advisory, staff drives the agenda, and then they have somebody there taking minutes, where the other ones, it's staff taking minutes. So Mining Advisory has the chair create the agenda, and they take their own minutes. Airport Advisory, staff creates the agenda, and a volunteer takes the minutes. But everywhere else in the county, it's staff that takes the agenda and the minutes. So to have consistency, quite frankly, Larry should be the one making sure that the minutes are documented, who says what, and a brief statement, or provide Lisa, a staff member, to do it. And they can send that to Trish if they need more.
And they've chosen to do that via...
But somebody who doesn't know the voices cannot do the minutes to say so-and-so made a thing, so-and-so said a thing.
Started that the last meeting of the last year, and they've been very good about saying, okay, yeah. Say your name, please.
And so I think we need to have a discussion. I know we're trying to get these minutes just today, but we need to have a full committee discussion about what that's part of the liaison thing. Is that on there?
Advisory boards, is it listed?
Nope, it's not.
And it needs to be.
Yep, there's another thing for the list. Because advisory boards,
Okay.
And then we need to look in the bylaws who's supposed to take the minutes and who's setting the agendas. And if there's not defined, we need to define it.
And they don't all have bylaws. I can tell you these are not accurate minutes for the fire committee. I didn't say that the county can pay for a consultant if Senator Berchiger is unable to find facts for that. I said we need to see if the county is willing to pay.
Right.
Because that's something that our board hasn't made a decision on. So, but somebody's going to read that and say I gave misinformation. Well, that's not what I said. I said that there was money provided that he, you know, from the state after a district is formed. We're asking that we can get an exception, a legislative exception, to pay for the feasibility study, but we won't find out until the February session. And that if he's not able to do it, that we'll have to ask the county if we have to make the decision we're going to pay for it. And we're going to need to make that decision. I'm hoping Senator Berchiger can get fixed. He says he's willing to ask. But we haven't made a decision as a board. So even these minutes, I didn't see them before today. I'm not saying they weren't emailed in the group, but the exact of what I said isn't this. So,
right.
Again, so the group approves minutes. Do we then change them if we say it was different? Or do we just accept them based on what the committee said was approved?
I think we're getting farther away rather than closer to.
Right, and we're opening up another can.
Yeah.
That liaison thing needs to go on this sheet that Wally had and be another bullet point.
Mm-hmm.
The commissioner liaison authority, because that extends to committees, so there should be a committee bullet point. And I'm thinking there might need to be a committee liaison reports place on the agenda for one of our weekly meetings, and then a department head liaison reports on one of our weekly meetings, so that we're forced to have that discussion with each other and try and close that gap that they talked about at that goal setting thing, that information's not getting to all three commissioners. Because it is, but it's not complete. And I think it needs to be part of the public record. We should have it here as part of a discussion. And that way, if it's not resolved and you say, that's not what I said, then we can resolve it here and go, okay, I was there. I know what happened. And so I think those are good housekeeping items to make us better at our jobs. And so should we delay approving the Rural Planning Commission meetings until we get them right and have the right names in place, or do we pass it with just, let's correct this?
I would say that for the rural planning ones, we can make a motion to approve that we'd like to amend corrections with blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah's name, and then approve as corrected. So right. You make a motion to approve as corrected on the two. I would not make a recommendation to approve the fire one.
Because you want to have a look at it. So let's put it on a future meeting.
Because Senator Berchiger did not provide the money.
So I'm going to, even with the blah, 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 I'm going to take that as a motion because we did discuss it.
Okay, so I'm going to make a
motion
to approve the Rural Planning Commission minutes of meeting August 5th and August 26th, 2019, with the corrections to the August 26th, 2019 meeting for the names, stating that James Cunningham was the member president and John Chambers was the member absent.
So he'll second it.
Those
in favor say aye.
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 You moved. I seconded. Aye.
Okay. Then that one's done. Let's delay the Fire Protection Committee one until you have a chance to review it.
Okay.
And are there any additional subjects or matters that the commissioners need to discuss?
No, we did. Last night we went to the Republican Women's Thing? And
no, that was the Josephine County Republican
Party. Josephine County Republican Party. There's quite a few different
deals. There are a few different
deals.
Mm-hmm.
At Elmer's and met Alec, the kid that out of Roseburg that's running against DeFazio.
Oh.
Peter DeFazio. Really nice kid, 27 years old? 27 years old. But
that almost qualifies as a kid.
I was surprised. I was surprised he seemed uncomfortable at first, but he had an answer for everything. It was kind of good. I was encouraged by that.
The uncomfortable to me seemed that it's still public speaking.
It is, yeah.
And his skill set, sniper, all this other kind of stuff from the military, but his answers were, he knew his position.
Intelligent.
And somebody sent him a question that he wasn't sure. He didn't try to BS his way through it. That's what I
can appreciate that.
Pretty neat. I don't know how many other people are going to run against. You know, the only one that's ever done that is Art.
There's three filed that I know of. Art Robinson.
Is Peter DeFazio going again? Trying
Jill
to?
Jill Ray, something like that. That's a lady that ran before. And Peter DeFazio's run again, and then Alec.
And that's Republican Democrat race, right?
That is.
It's a primary. Right. So, primary by party. So, there's Joelle and Ray, Art Robinson, and Alec are the three that I'm aware of in the primary. And I don't think anybody is challenging
DeFazio
in the primary.
Democrat side on the primary. Okay, any more?
Yes. I met with some folks from Williams that... Dr. Shabana Feinberg was on a committee that the county had created once upon a time to update Article 99, which was revisions about small cell tower laws and different stuff like that. And in the original thing, it states that the recommendations is that wording of it be evaluated every 5 years. And Article 99 is... there is several recommendations of things that we can do and evaluate. I've had numerous people in the community concerned about the 5G rollout and wanting to make sure that our land use laws are shored up. I have been working on this topic as part of the NACO Telecommunication and Technology Committee. There was an FCC rule that took away any local control of decisions on land use related to 5G rollout. And so they did not have to abide by any land use or any local regulations whatsoever.
Sounds awful open-ended.
Pretty big-footed.
So if somebody asks you, why do you take part in NACO? This is one of those topics.
Yeah.
We have been advocated strongly on the Hill to push back on that FCC rule. And there's several bills that are in place that some came through NACO and our technology and telecommunication. We've put rule amendments through that we voted on. And by my participation, I brought up Oregon land use laws because they wanted to give the agencies just 60 days to respond and then they get an automatic approval. And I brought up that Oregon's land use laws, that they have 120 days to respond to these permit requests before it even goes to appeal. So we were hoping that got to for it. But anyhow, they did, I believe, left you guys copies of some information. So one of the things that is key that has changed since then is there's a current federal agency that has actually ruled that there's some health and safety concerns regarding that 5G regulation. So you now actually have, I'm not finding it, but
that'd be a showstopper.
The United States Department of Health National Toxicological Program found clear evidence of cancer risk from non-thermal wireless, putting to rest any doubts and ensuring that liability exists for wireless exposure. So
that's
you now
pretty
have
broad too.
It is, but you have a Department of Health at the national level, and then you have the FCC at a different level with conflicting information. So they are asking that we. Well, first off, there's a committee forming in Jackson County about getting theirs going. There's a group in our county that's kind of bringing it up. But they, one nexus that we have already is that because federal regulations oversee it, they should fall under federal regulations to include environmental assessments, environmental impact studies, or the NEPAs that the other federal agencies. I'm going to bring up a bad subject. Remember all the things that made bus shelters go from $12,500 to $106,000?
The bus shelters of which we do not speak?
Those.
Okay.
We got them down to $86,000 after we took the art out. But the things that made them expensive was those environmental studies and all that other stuff. I'm not generally one that wants more bureaucracy, but these are federal regulations that are saying that local land use law doesn't have to apply. So then why are they not required to follow federal regulations like we were for NEPA and environmental impact studies?
Well, usually those laws are put into place because of something.
Yep.
I'm gonna say, okay, just on a great big, just a snapshot overview, is that 5G's been in big cities for a long time.
It's getting rolled out right now, in the last year.
Okay, well, anybody that I know, people that were perfectly good-thinking people move to the city and don't think that way anymore. They're exposed to 5G, and here they come back with home with all these guys. Where'd you get that?
Okay, so...
Oh, I was exposed to 5G. So I'm going to invest in Reynolds aluminum foil, or the tin foil hat.
So here's the specific ask.
Small, medium,
they are large. Proposing a review and revision of Article 99 to address the current status of the new 4G, 5G small cell environment. And they're asking that per the October 1st, 2019 ruling of the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals, there's a case number listed, that all 4G and 5G facilities are considered part of a comprehensive federal build-out plan, and thus an application for any specific 4G and or 5G facility must include the environmental assessment or environmental impact study required for this plan by the National Environmental Policy Act, NEPA, or certification that the facility qualifies for categorical exclusion under NEPA. 2A, if an application for a small cell facility is submitted without documentation of prior NEPA review or a certified categorical exclusion, it shall be denied. A new application for the same sites would require a new fee. B, if construction of a small cell facility is in process without having fulfilled the NEPA requirement, it shall be halted until such NEPA adherence is documented. C, if a facility is functioning without having fulfilled this NEPA requirement, it shall cease functioning until such NEPA adherence is documented. And 3, further revisions to this article in the form of additional clauses specific to the new environment of small cell antenna installations will potentially follow. And they want... She wanted to volunteer to work with James Black, the planning lead, to work on the potential draft of the revisions since she was on the original committee. So this was brought to me. I believe they left copies for you guys prior to Christmas, but I said I would bring it up. I would at least definitely be interested in having our community development department relook at the regulation per our current wording that says it must be reviewed every 5 years, and ask that that be done. I know there's people in the community that are willing to take part, and like I said, she was on the original committee, and she's willing to help work with him, and I recommended she reach out to him as one of those committee members. If this is something that you guys would support, then at least revising and looking at and doing what he needs to do that, I would make that ask.
Yeah, I think that's what we want
to
do.
We need to look at it, yes.
Yep. And so can you craft an email to...
Especially if we said we were going to do it every 5 years, we need to do it every 5 years.
Okay. If you guys...
How does T-Mobile get away with putting the whole map of the United States and it's all lit up red, and they said, we've supplied 5G to this...
They're wrong.
Yeah, it's a disinformation campaign.
If you look at the FCC's map of broadband in Josephine County, it shows all of Josephine County has broadband access. Tell me how the Calmeopsis Wilderness has broadband access.
I don't even have. They told me 7 or 8 years ago with the TV provider I have that, oh boy, that wireless, why that photo optic cable is right out in your street. Still isn't there. So.
Well, and it's a big push nationally that takes internet and broadband and defines if it's going to be a commerce, where currently it's competitive and it's owned by the companies as a competition of free market, versus there's a group that believes it should be utility. And if it's public utility and it should be provided to everybody, if... You look back to when phone lines went in, the money of the phone companies was made installing in a city, and the ability to get that city lines put in is they had to agree to take it out into rural areas, so everybody had phone access. There's federal laws that everybody can have phone access, and that was the potential of everybody gets access to a phone for calling help or whatever if they want it, and that's how you have the free phones, cell phones that are being given out.
But nobody says you're required in that law to have internet access. It's still not considered a utility, and that's kind of a big national fight right now. Because we applied for a grant, CEDC, Julie Schmelzer, before she left, applied for a big grant with the state of Oregon to try to get money to extend broadband, extend fiber to those rural areas in our county, something that would help people be competitive with jobs. One of the small companies that is a fiber owner called the state and said, we already have it, we don't need it, and we got denied the grant. What our community, I've seen so far, supports is fiber and getting the high speed through fiber. They don't support the 5G and the wireless, as you saw the pushback with smart meters and different stuff like that. So there is USDA funding and loans to try to expand broadband, but it's something that we would have to work with the local providers to see. It's not something that's franchised. It's not something that one person has. There's companies providing services in our county I've never heard of. And there's
they're bought out every other day.
And it's, but I just talked to some folks out off of Lower River Road, and they have to pay for two dial-up services to try to get enough internet speed to, I mean, it's just, it's not provided in our area. But if you look at a map by the FCC, our entire county has broadband access. And what we learned is if one house in the zip code has access, they label everything in that zip code as having access.
Oh, golly.
And it might be something similar that T-Mobile is doing, but there is not 5G in small communities. It was the opposite side that NACO was taking, that there's actually, with a 5G deployment, so far the companies have only focused on affluent neighborhoods to put it out. And so that was something they were also saying, that they are putting in adverse limitations on poor communities. So even major cities that supposedly have 5G don't have 5G everywhere because there's a cost to it. But anyhow, nonetheless, this was one that I was asked to bring to you guys. I do have another letter that it got put on the agenda for this afternoon. I asked staff to pass to you guys so you can bring to this afternoon any amendments to the letter. The red of the letter was what Dave Streeter provided. He provided some edits.
Yep.
And so Forest Service is looking for that. Forest Service drafted that letter. I sent it to Dave to get his feedback. And so it'll be on this afternoon's agenda.
Okay.
One other thing, the city council has asked that the county amend ordinances related to cats. At our Animal Shelter Advisory Committee last month, there's another meeting this Thursday night. There's a recommended language change that we could maybe incorporate. We had a subcommittee look into recommendations, so that's going to be coming before the Animal Shelter Advisory on Thursday night.
City doesn't like our language in there about we don't allow feral cats in the county, so we're moving them all to the city. They didn't like that? Just kidding, city.
Yeah, so...
I don't know what the answer is on feral cats.
And I haven't read everything of the recommendations yet. I'm going to do that before Thursday night at the meeting. But there was a group willing to look at best practice in other places and make a recommendation. So I believe that if they vote on it Thursday night, we'll be bringing it back to you guys for a recommendation. There was ordinance recommendation. There's a lot of things in the code that are outdated that they're also making recommendations of. When the codification process went through and we got all the ordinances and rules and orders and everything into one place, we realized that there's things that are conflicting, there's things that are outdated, there's different things that are there, and it would be nice to, I would like to ask of legal, maybe we can do that this afternoon, we do not have a mechanism for follow-up of, okay, now that we have it in one place and a year ago we approved it, now what's our process for going through and fixing typos, for fixing conflicts, for... It would be nice to get a schedule and a plan that we're going to routinely be going through, and we need to find who's that right nexus to see that through. That is it legal, or is it the individual departments that have codes in the code? But we were told very distinctly that this needs cleaned up. And so when do we start working on that process of making sure that it was never one place for people to look, but now we need to go through and make sure it makes sense.
Sure.
And then one other one is I continue when we declared a housing emergency, how long does that emergency last? We were able to pass a housing ordinance, and DCLD did advise on that, and they gave staff recommendations of what they would approve versus appeal, and that's why we were able to get through what we did. There were some items that were recommended by staff that could help with some shelter situations that were not put in. But I have people coming and saying, well, if there's a piece of land in the county and the DEQ permit can handle the flow, could I put a bunch of tiny little homes and deal with the homeless and maybe have a community building as a central shower or a central something else? And I don't know if that's dealt with in the housing thing.
There was a letter to us along that line, and it was out off Murphy Creek.
Okay.
They wanted to put in a bunch of tiny homes out there for the homeless, which Murphy Creek Road, to me, would be by the high school.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do about transportation?
We don't have bus out Williams Highway.
So we have to create a whole new form of transportation to get the people out there. And then when they up, I got to go to a doctor's appointment. Back and forth, if you had 48 of these tiny homes out there, you got a heck of a problem.
Yeah,
and that isn't the place. I think that's one of the reasons why the housing thing is such a sticker out in the county, is you just don't have transportation to get people back and forth.
But they could solve that with, like they do at a residential care facility, they could have
their own smaller shuttle that
took care of them. There's other ways than the government fixing that.
Well, you want to know how deep into the taxpayer's pocket are you going to do to fix that problem?
Well, and my recommendation is that we look at the code to make sure the restrictions on the land is not so prohibitive that an individual or a nonprofit could do that and it not be us providing the solution. Our solution can be the code to make sure it's possible. But there were things that got put on hold from the original recommendation of that housing ordinance, and I think it would be good to revisit that.
Has there been any movement on the part of the municipality? To part of the shortage is it's too darn expensive to build. And here, like I said, I'll say it again and again. I don't see any movement from the city of Grants Pass saying, well, we don't require you to do this, 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 and this.
I'm not looking to solve the housing issues in the city of Grants Pass, but the Illinois Valley is a concern to me.
Yeah.
And we have a fairly good partnership with the city of Cape Junction. But, you know, I went to...
But as Josephine County, do we go out there and require all of these things again? And somebody wants to build, I just need a house, and I want my family to live in it. Nope, you got to have this, pave the driveway, pave driveway approach, and you can't have this driveway, you got to make your own driveway over here. All the things that we require are contrary to us saying on one side of our mouth, say, man, we want you to get into a house and be warm and dry, and then by the way, we've got to do this, 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 this. The two are in direct conflict with each other. We say we want to fix it, but we don't do anything to fix it.
I agree, so that's why I'd like it to come back. And I think, honestly, we should talk about I'd like us to look at our meetings. And the meetings that we have, what if we had Monday workshops? That we had topics that...
I think we've got a whole bunch of stuff we put out there today.
No, I know.
Yeah,
I'm just saying, though, we do not have... in our current schedule, we used to have Thursday afternoon general discussion meetings as well. I'm not saying the right time for when this happens, but I think at least once a month, we should see if there's an opportunity for the three of us to have a time schedule that we can delve into some of these topics deeper. Because when they come to us at the legal counsel meeting... If there's a question, it goes back for a week or a week or a week or, you know, how long until it gets to this point, and then it goes to admin before it goes to weekly business. But what if we were able to say, there's a topic we need a little bit more time on, and we can kind of delve through. I'll give you an example on the housing. There's a 150-foot limit on that additional dwelling that it has to be near the main house. Somebody has a 20-acre property. Why does that second unit have to be within 150 feet of that main house? It was meant to be so there's only one septic. Well,
why is that?
And
20 acres.
And quite honestly, I, you know, it's one of those things that, yes, my grandmother lived with me for the last 2 years, and she told me she's going to move back in with me when she needs help, when she's ready to retire in a couple years. That's how she worded it. But if I had a grandma unit that... had a little bit of privacy and space that she felt was her own, I'd love to be able to do that. But we had a couple of restrictions that are in our thing, is how much of the property can be developed versus left natural. If my dad had his dream place, he'd have a shop. He'd have a musician's
studio.
He would have a separate place for this, and he'd, you know, my mom would probably have a separate office, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And it's just one of those things that, are we in the way of people being able to do with their property what they would like? And are our limitations such that we're restricting what can be done? Or can we look at it again and say, okay, that was phase one. We declared the housing emergency. We got this amended. How's it working? What's still not working? I just recently had a contractor tell me that he's trying to build four houses with the county, and it's so stinking expensive. We don't have system development charges. We have permits at the county related to the use of those buildings, and I know we justify that with the fees. The fees are paid for by the people doing it, but that's the first person that told me the counties are so expensive that it's cost prohibitive for somebody to do it. I've heard this very distinctly for the city.
When you get, and I think probably one of the things that he's talking about is that when you get four houses up there, it's like the one I did on North Applegate Road. That gentleman, he'd been fighting Public Works forever. They wanted me to put in a $375,000 road up into his subdivision. And he was going to build it. He broke that fourth house. He wanted to, his brother-in-law wanted to build a house for his brother-in-law. And him and his folks and his sister and his brother-in-law were all going to share one driveway. Absolutely not. You've got to put this big hammerhead up there. And I said, when he does the rest of the subdivision and he can amortize that $375 over 20 lots rather than one lot, that's the time to do it. Nope, by golly. And we fought, he fought that, and we finally won.
Golly.
But it was all the engineering. There was an irrigation ditch. And they had rock on both sides for 120 feet because of the current, and it's going to wash out that bridge abutments. It's an irrigation ditch. It's gravity.
Right.
It's inner tube stuff. Nope. you're treating it like it's going to have Dunn Riffle coming down through there in the wintertime, and it doesn't.
Right.
But we were really, I agree with you. We're trying to tell, okay, we got to tell you how you're supposed to live. In rural America, and that's the reason people live in rural America, so they can live like they want to
live. Like they want to.
Well,
and I think the once-a-month workshop is a good proposal to address things like what we started at today. There's plenty of subjects to fill up 12 of those meetings.
Just something to consider, that there's sometimes that the way our meetings are scheduled right now, because originally, when we first started here, we were doing the department head updates on Thursday morning admins before the business of admins. So you would have a room filled with department heads sitting here for 3 hours. And so we moved the department heads to quarterly updates to Tuesdays. Well, that fills that date. That was our general discussion. Okay, we no longer have the Thursday afternoon general discussions. So it just seems like sometimes there may be a need to have more time to delve into something. So it would be good to explore what that would be, and I'm not looking to fill our calendar. I think there's some topics that we need more time than what our calendar allows right now.
I agree.
Okay, so the housing one, I don't know who initiates
spoken
that.
Spoken by someone who doesn't need a campaign this year. Got all kinds of time on its hands. I agree. Sure, have all the meetings you want.
I hadn't taken that into consideration.
But now that I did.
And my last one is that the coal fish hatchery topic. I spoke with Court Boyce last night from Curry County. He cannot make the date that we were proposing, January 21st, because he's had a sudden oak death summit that day. But he believes the topics are important, and he proposed that we move it to February and on a Friday. And so if you guys don't object...
No, that's fine.
Okay.
Check with Jackson County. I think Jackson County needs to be at the table, see that that works out better for them.
Well...
And they can either send their administrator or
the other thing is Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife and Army Corps of Engineers can't make the 21st either. So we have to move it no matter what.
Yeah,
move it.
But Curry County has again invited Jackson County. And I will
follow up. I think the legal counsels are the ones that might be the appropriate one to be reaching out, unless you guys have those direct contacts with somebody.
I think Wally reached out to Danny Jordan. I said, you got to get that past Jordan, or he's not going to allow his people to go.
Well, their legal counsel had recommended some things to them as well, so that's why I recommend that. But anyhow, unless you guys object, that's what the recommendation was, to try to find a Friday in February.
That'll work. Any more information sharing?
No.
We're fine. I just had the one from the CEDC yesterday, the Collaborative Economic Development Committee. Larry Graves, our airport director, had an ask for the county and the city to set aside 5 years worth of commitment to have matching money in place for those grant asks. He was asking for $150,000 from the county and $50,000 from the city of Grants Pass. Not sure how that will end up on the ears of the Grants Pass leaders, but I think previous commissions and us this year, we did commit about that amount to the airport, and I think it's a reasonable ask considering what we take in, and he needs to have the assurance that as he's going after all these grants and in succession and pushing hard for them, we don't want to leave him without the resources to make that match. And so that's the motion from the committee, so we need to consider it sometime in the future. Yep.
So when Julie left, we kind of took the economic development role, which a department had, and gave it to you. But she was also staff support for the CEDC, and I know we don't have a staff support from the county. It's a lot to ask of you if you're that, unless you want to be that.
Right, no, I don't. Although I've had a suggestion from John Bowen and Susan Seawriter that we use, I think her name's Amber, our grant writer,
okay,
as a possible liaison. Is that her name?
Amber DeLay.
Amber DeLay. as a possible staff liaison. And I know that's been a hard one for me. I tried this year to think of who in staff would be a good liaison, and it's tough. We don't have that position, obviously, in our staff. And so she might be able to be a contributor. She may have a passion for it. So I was going to ask her, do you have any other suggestions before I do that?
I would recommend that we talk to her boss, because she currently is under the supervision of Mike Weber of Public Health, because 50% of her position is paid out of the Public Health budget.
Mm-hmm.
And he supervises or manages what she's doing with the other department heads. I know what they've said already is the ask of her from other department heads is more than what she can do in her time right now. So if we as a board are asking for even more, what does that mean to the other positions? I've heard people saying bring on more grant people, and I would like to explore options of not bringing on more staff. Of what do we do with grant management? What are other resources for grants than just taking on more staff? But I would be concerned if we're asking more of her, then that means even less time available for what she's already being asked to do above what she can fit in her time.
Right. And that makes sense.
So that would be something that her department head would probably want to weigh in on.
Makes sense.
But I do think a staff person there would be helpful. The other part of what I was bringing up is with you as the role of economic development, would it be appropriate to say, okay, this is the amount that we bring in, this is the recommendation. We have our standards that we pay for out of that money.
Right, chambers and some memberships.
Soretties and, mm-hmm. Yeah, that kind of stuff. And maybe we do have a recommendation. You're our liaison for that. So...
Right, but it's getting underserved. And so I think it needs some other staff support rather than just my office.
Okay.
But I don't know what that looks like. There hasn't been an obvious place to go yet.
So let's talk about that. keep talking about it. But I think that our board would support a continued effort to... We are currently using economic development...
because we believe in the workforce support and the jobs that come from the airports. And so we have been doing that, but you brought up a topic today that might provide alternate funding. So let's look at all those options and see soon. I had one more thing, and I know we got to go.
Sure.
In talking with some of the miners, I've attended the last two Waldo Galise Mining District meetings, and there was some things that were coming up that were have some issues with Forest Service stuff with some RS-2477 roads and such. But the question came is, and I brought up, would it be appropriate for one of the mining advisory to go to D.C. while I'm there and join me at some of the meetings with Department of Ag, Department of Interior, about some of the mining issues that are going on. And so they voted on Friday night to support Tom Kutcher going. He is on our mining advisory committee, and so the nexus of having a county connection there versus just general member of the public. They asked if the county would endorse supporting half the cost. I said, I don't know. I could ask. But
what is half the cost?
We don't know. It's air, room and board and airfare.
It's like $3,000 or something. By the
it's less.
Is it less?
Yeah,
you
I was.
Get meals too.
Yeah, but I. Yeah, I'm trying to look at housing options still because my airfare was I was able to put something towards it to keep the cost down, but it was still one of those things that. I don't know. I will try to find out more, but is that something you guys would even entertain looking at?
Yep, I'd entertain it. I think now's the time to ask those questions. We got a friendly administration there.
It is kind of key. So I'm working out with Undersecretary Jim Hubbard's office about that, but I also want to make sure that we're outlining all the topics to take to D.C. and who are we meeting with, because we are growing and growing the things that we're asking. So not just the BLM trade, but the airport situation with the runway length. The road maintenance, the not letting it burn, the you know, it's how
it's
many of these things
broad.
That yeah. we are making sure that we're advocating for. So if you have those things, we need to keep talking about what are those asks so that I'm making sure I'm scheduling the right appointments to do that. So anyhow, that was just it. That was the exact thing with Tom is this is the time, this is the place. And what I'm seeing in D.C. is personal stories matter. And so how is this impacting? And one of the biggest impacts is the rule that any of the prospecting, mining, whatever it is, the operations have to have state write-off. Well, Oregon has not allowed mining. But why does Oregon have authority over federal lands where it is illegal activity? So by the application on federal lands requiring state sign-off, it's essentially making it illegal on federal lands. So we're asking for a rule change on that. We addressed that in September.
Yeah, I think if you're able to propose the amount and what meetings are set up, okay. what could be accomplished there, that we'd be able to look at it and go, yeah, that makes sense, or no, that doesn't make sense.
All right, so we'll keep trying to get it organized.
Okay. Any other? 12:03, let's end it then.